Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Here's the 3-1, and a fastball swung on and hit well. Left center field, and it's gone! And what a moment this has to be for Brandon Lau. He goes the other way for a home run to give the Rays a 1-0 lead in the first inning.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
The 0-2, and a swing and a ball sent to left field, hit pretty well. Going to back, Taylor, and it's off the top of the wall and gone! Another opposite field home run for Brandon Lau. His second home run of the game, and the Rays now lead 5-0.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
2-2 on Bellinger. And the pitch on the way, and a fastball in there at 95 to get him looking and end the inning. A huge out for Loop and the Rays. End of eight, and the Rays lead the Dodgers 6-4.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
All right, 12:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Andy Dirt Johnson in with you on this Thursday afternoon.
What is happening?
Not a whole lot.
Everybody's fired up for Giants and Eagles tonight. You got your bets in, ready to go?
You fired up?
It's NFL football. I got money on the line here tonight.
I'm laying the wood
on the Philadelphia Eagles, baby.
Why?
Fly, Eagles, fly.
Today I'm laying
on the
big
way
wood
to victory.
Are you only betting to want to watch this game?
No, I want to try and win some money, man. Let's go Eagles, baby. They're a lock tonight, aren't they?
What's the spread?
I actually bet it up. The spread's at 4.5.
Oh, you
I
bet.
Believe.
It's up to 5 now.
See, I was ahead of the curve, baby. I bet it up to 6.5. Give me that touchdown guarantee. Mark it.
What'd you get for odds on that?
Mark it 8, bro. I think it was like +110 or something like that. Let's go Eagles. Who's fired up for a little Thursday night football?
You know, I can't believe you bet on an NFC East team. But then again, so did I, and it did not turn out well.
Yeah, you know, we all fall into the traps from time to time. And the Eagles are terrible. The Giants are also terrible. But it's Thursday night football, and you bet your ass I'm going to be watching that tonight. Because what the you want to watch the debate? We got the debate or Thursday night football?
You got Timber Sounders at 7:30 on FS1.
There you go. A little local soccer. All right.
He's not watching that.
You want me to get some soccer tweets going tonight?
He's not going to watch that.
No, he's not going to watch that. No.
Maybe the debate. Maybe.
I'll watch it a little bit of the debate, yeah.
What do we watch the debate for?
Because
if you're a Trump bro, Biden literally can't say or do anything to change your mind. And if you're a Biden bro...
Yeah, I don't think there's many undecideds left out there.
Yeah, that was kind of my point at the start of these debates is what are these debates really... What do they do?
Yeah, and I mean, in normal years,
they've done studies. They actually don't change people's minds largely. That's like five presidential debates they've had have not shown to have swayed the election at all.
Well, this one's a little different, too, because I believe I read this morning that we are now up to like 47 million people have already voted.
Jeez.
So you've got a pretty high number of people that have already, I mean.
They made their minds up.
My ballot's in, so I'm already out of the game.
We're doing ours tonight.
You got to get that ballot in, baby.
Yeah.
Are you voting for the mushrooms? Psychedelics? Did you vote for the psychedelics, Weigard?
Is that a statewide legislation?
Yeah, that's a state ballot.
I'm for sure voting for it.
What's it called? Psilocybin therapy?
I believe so. Something like that.
I know a guy who knows a guy.
Who grows shrooms and sells them.
Who runs a company, like, rather successfully, and he dabbles in that. What did you just say, Swigard?
Psilocybin, I believe.
Yeah, but, like, he does, like, little micro doses for certain periods of time during a day.
Okay.
So he doesn't go full in on the 4 to 5 hour experience. He'll go in on like
a little bit,
an hour and a half, maybe an hour.
A little drop here, a little drop there.
Let me get weird for 60 minutes and we'll get back.
I need to get into the teeth of that and see how it's actually being administered and regulated.
Right up the butt.
If there's pretty tight restraints on how that gets distributed, then look.
What do you think? There's loose? Do you think there's not going to have regulation?
Well,
or
you're just slanging them out to the kitchen schools, man.
Is it vague and ambiguous because the people that wrote it don't quite understand what they're all getting into? Is there susceptibility for unintended consequences? That sort
sure.
of stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions going with it. There's no doubt.
Sure. If there's therapies that, you know, can help people in that condition, then by all means.
Hot shrooms talk to start the show. You didn't see me going there, did you?
I didn't.
I'm also a little disappointed because I'm a proud member of Clackamas County. Shout out to my Clackamas County bros
out
there.
I'm right there with you.
Let's go, Clackamas County.
Yeah.
We didn't have a lot to vote on.
No, we did not.
We got a pretty limited ballot this year in Clackamas County, and I was talking to some of my Multnomah County bros.
Oh, yeah, it's interesting for them.
There's a lot on that old ballot. I mean, it took like a long time. You got a lot of ballot measures and city council. I mean, it goes on. On and on of the things you vote for, and I opened that bad boy up, and I was looking at it like, it's like a front page, half of the back page.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's all you got.
There's really not a lot in
there.
Got
one like fire merger thing to vote on. It's like it's a little disappointing.
You think people actually go through their ballots and read the pamphlets of what the legislation is?
I would hope so.
Because it's easy to just address it as, are you in on legalizing shrooms or not?
Sure, yeah.
And
there's a lot more nuance to it than that.
I think a lot of people are like, no, for whatever reason, or yes, not. Well, to Swigard's point, how did they word it? How is the law written?
There was one that I had to do that on. Now, a lot of the people that ran in Clackamas County were unopposed. So it's just like, you know, you're not going to vote for the non, you fill it in. You're like, whatever, I'll give the guy my vote or the gal my vote. There was one though, that was like I can't remember the specific position, but it was like county commit, you know, something Clackamas County related. And there was two bros that were up for it. Never heard of either of them in my life. And shout out to local media. I think like the Portland Tribune put together a piece highlighting all of their beliefs and who endorsed them and this and that. And because I Googled, I was like, who the hell are these two guys? What does that job entail? I had never heard of either of them. And so I did my research before I voted for one of them.
Yeah, I also find
there was even a debate. They had like a virtual debate for like a small county position in Clackamas County.
You should.
Yeah, I'm glad that they did.
You should.
I was able to educate myself before I filled in the bubble.
I also love seeing the all the signs that are out right now. Not presidential, but the local ones.
The randos.
I mean, dear God, I don't think they've put enough Kim Thatcher signs all over the Damascus Highway 212 area.
Kim Thatcher's out there, baby.
Good God, man.
She's out there.
She's making it known that she's running for Secretary of State. Kim, I get it.
Oh, that's what it was.
But I don't need... There was a stretch of highway. I was driving to drop my kids off this morning. There's a stretch of highway off, I think it's 212. There's like 9 signs within 4 feet of each other. Just bam, 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 bam.
Yeah, line them up.
And I thought, why did you do that? Why would you not space these out? I don't need to see 9 signs to go, oh, I need to vote for that person.
Right.
That's a weird strategy to me.
Yeah, you're like carpet bombing 1 yard.
It's not even a yard. It's a tiny side stretch of highway. People are going 50 down this highway. I don't know if they're really looking at all 9 of those signs. Like, there's a Kim. There's another one.
You know what we should have done? I was just reminded of this when Jason Swigard proudly walked the mile. What was it? Sub 9 minutes? Is that what you're talking about?
Sub 11.
11. That's right. Yeah. Sub 11.
Let's not get carried away.
Sorry, that was a little too extreme.
He did come in at like 10 something.
Oh, it
was
quick.
Not inconceivable.
He was picking them up and putting them down. But you had to run out there to the half mile mark out here on the waterfront, and have some way to mark the spot in which he would have to turn around and then come back.
We had the fan yard sign.
And we had a fan yard sign. And I don't know if we still have fan yard signs.
I never went and got it.
No, that thing was out there. A bum picked it up. It probably turned into like a roof of a shelter somewhere.
Yeah.
But we should totally do that next election. Like do mock, like vote 1080 the fan plaques or little yard signs all over the place.
A promotions budget.
Okay, this is valid. This is well, maybe in 4 years.
Are you going to do this?
The promotional team will be back. Vote 1080 the fan, huh? What do you think?
I think it would confuse people.
What is the fan?
Why is the what's 1080 the
is
fan?
Is that a ballot measure?
Yeah, what's that? See, they Google
it would
us.
Look like a ballot measure, wouldn't
they'd
it?
They'd Google 1080 the fan. They'd find out the station. Boom, turn it on. New listeners, just like that.
Don't even put vote 1080 the fan. I think we go to Swigard's point. We act like it's a ballot measure and just
yes.
put yes. On 1080 the fan.
Yes, on 1080 the fan.
And just start littering them everywhere.
And do a little mock website underneath, and we could have what we stand for sports related. I stand, you know, like the Field of Dreams speech.
There's another bro in my, in Clackamas that I have to decide on. And I haven't read anything about him yet, but he's running for a position. I think it's commissioner. His name's Kim Humberson. Humberston? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Have you seen his signs?
No.
He's cowboy hat, bro.
Oh, he is? Okay.
And I thought, that's kind of a bold play.
You go cowboy hat, man.
He's wearing the cowboy hat in his picture.
You go urban cowboy, man.
He's really trying to go to that boring Oregon stretch
Clackamas
of people.
County is such a unique place because you have Lake Oswego and West Lynn in there.
And then you get Mullala.
You got Mount Hood up there,
well,
man.
And you've got the mountain. You've got forest country and boring and zigzag and rhododendron and all the way up to the top of the mountain.
Couldn't be more different of a crowd in one county.
It's a really diverse county.
It really is.
Yeah, somebody said you're butchering this. Psilocybin? What's the
psilocybin.
Sure, that one. It's used for therapy. You can't bite yourself. I do know that, yeah. It's for medical purposes. It's not to, like, legalize shrooms for everybody to go buy.
No.
It's the step to
sure.
It's like the first step we took with marijuana. You got to use it for medical purposes, see how it goes. There's a trial period for like a year, see if it works, and then we can expand on it from there.
Should we do it on the show one day and let you know what it's like? Do a little review?
No. Ooh, that could
shroom
get
review here on Dirt and Spray.
In the final hour, we're going to take shrooms.
I don't believe I am dealing with the conditions that would warrant taking it.
Yeah.
Well, if we're trying whiskey on air, I don't know what the problem with shrooms is.
Somebody said they wrote Swaggin for state Supreme Court.
Oh,
let's
God.
Go, candidate Swigard.
Oh, man.
Ride a man, baby.
You imagine him on the Supreme Court?
Would you wear pants on this? Well, no, you wear a robe.
I wear
so you
a robe.
Can hide
I wear
underneath.
Shorts under there, baby.
You wouldn't even be able to tell, man.
He'd be free balling under that robe. He'd make it real interesting. All right. Well, we got a good show today. We have a lot to get to in the National Football League. We got our NFL picks at 2. So the first three games that you guys text in at 503-250-1080, those are the three games that we are going to pick against the spread. I have not followed this at all every week. I forget.
Oh, I got him, baby.
I have no idea what happened last week, but we'll get to that today at 2. Antonio Morales covers USC football for The Athletic. He'll join us at 2:30 as we get a little more of a Pac-12 preview. Talk some USC Trojans. They might be the favorite to win the conference this year. He'll join us at 2:30. At 1, we'll talk with our good friend Brady Henderson, who covers the Seahawks for ESPN. We'll get the latest on Antonio Brown. Was there one team telling us that it wasn't a good sign to go after Antonio Brown? Mm-hmm. And then Snacks Harrison. When is he going to be inserted into the starting lineup on that defensive line? We'll talk with Brady Henderson at 1. And we got a two-stop daily ticker. It's a bit of a random one, but the first is in Baltimore. Jerry Coleman of 105.7 The Fan will join us. And then we'll talk with Billy Embody, who covers LSU for 24/7, and talk about those self-imposed sanctions and what they could be looking at from the NCAA. I'm going to allow you. What do you want to start with here?
Ooh.
I'm going to let you choose your own adventure.
Choose your own adventure?
Do you want to talk baseball? Do you want to talk football? Do you want to dive into college football?
We could dive into college football. I'm for that.
Because the Big Ten's back this weekend.
It's back tomorrow.
Well, yeah.
The Big Ten begins in like 24 hours.
I'm pretty excited for it. I don't care about the conference all that much, but sure. I'm excited for more football teams to be playing.
It's nice to have another person enter the dance.
All right. Well, let's do that. We'll start with some college football. We'll get to the Daily Ticker at 12:30. Dirt and Sprague, happy to be with you on this beautiful Thursday on Radio.com and 1080 The Fan. All right, we got two stops to make on the Daily Ticker. We'll do it coming up here at the bottom of the hour. But we welcome another conference back to the college football party that is COVID season. Yes. watched the ladies scream for that one.
Woo!
It is the Big Ten Conference, long considered, also known as Ohio State and everybody else.
Yeah, that's the way it is.
And that's kind of the feeling. I was reading a couple pieces from some of the national writers on Big Ten stuff, and it, you know, drum up some interest for maybe Wisconsin as a dark horse. Hey, can Minnesota surprise some people? It is overwhelming of how much it's just Ohio State and everybody else.
Yeah, that's the way it is every year. I don't think it's that different than the ACC. At least I'll give the Big Ten credit. It's a better conference than the ACC, but I think just in terms of the number one team and then everybody else, it's identical. I don't really see a threat to Ohio State this upcoming season, mainly because they have the most talent of anybody in the conference and they're returning the best player in the conference. Justin Fields seems like he's a guy on a mission. I think it's easy to forget the pre-COVID times, but they lost a pretty controversial playoff game last year to Clemson. There were a few calls that, that left people very angry on Twitter, and I'm sure Buckeye Nation has not gotten over it in the recent months. So there's a bit of a redemption tour for them. Justin Fields coming back for another year. He's one of the odds-on favorites to win the Heisman, even though he hasn't played a game yet. And just to give you a glimpse, like, Nebraska's not good. That rebuilding project has not gone well under Scott Frost, at least at this point. But in the opening game, they're hosting Nebraska. They're favored by like four touchdowns.
26 on ESPN.
Like, dude, that shows you how wide the gap is, man. And I would be absolutely shocked if anybody other than Ohio State were to win the Big Ten this year. It doesn't mean that Penn State can't have a good year. Minnesota had a good year last year. Maybe Michigan
surprises. What about
Michigan?
They
got a new quarterback this year. And I was reading a piece this morning about how maybe he's finally the answer to a position that Jim Harbaugh just has not been able to solve there. Like, they could all have decent years, just like, you know, maybe North Carolina or Virginia Tech or, you know, Miami might be better than some people thought. But nobody's going to knock off Clemson and nobody's going to knock off Ohio State.
Do you think any other – well, let me rephrase that. What do you think the odds are that there's anybody close to being able to knock out Ohio State from the Big Ten?
Oh, God.
Because they're pretty overwhelming favorites in Vegas.
Yeah, as they should be. Yeah.
Because Wisconsin is always a good program. They always seem to lose that one game a year that it's like, what? And then you look at them in the Rose Bowl, for example. I thought they were a slightly better team going into that, and that's not a disrespect to Oregon. I just thought both of them were such good teams.
Oregon caught a couple of breaks to win that game. The drop punt that Breeze picked up. I mean, there's a few plays went their way.
But you give that credit to Oregon, and that's kind of who Wisconsin is, right? It's a really good 2-3 loss team every year. I don't look at them and seriously think they're ever going to beat Ohio State.
Right.
Michigan, I mean, where do you start? I don't even remember right now what year the last year they beat Ohio State was. Can you tell me?
Oh, God, it's probably been a decade.
Did Brady Hoke do it?
Give or take.
Did Rich Rod do it?
Yeah. Ooh,
it's been a long time since that's that rivalry. It's one of my favorites, but it's largely not been a rivalry. It's been dominated by Ohio State.
Yeah, even in the only year that was the outlier to that, I would argue, was the year that there was the controversial fourth down call, which was, I want to say, 3 years ago, that Michigan put together a good season.
It was the year we went to Corvallis, Civil War.
It was 16. The Helfrich year that Georgia, would have been 16. That was the one that they were close to pulling off an upset
Swag
on the road.
Told me 2011 was the last time.
2011.
That's a long time to lose. That's Washington-Oregon type stuff where it's like, yeah, it's a rivalry because you care, but
you're creeping up on a decade, man.
That's a long time to go without beating your nemesis. And then Penn State, I kind of put them in the same kind of category as Wisconsin. They're almost always a consistent program, and they have success, but they always seem to drop a game or two as well. And you just look at them and you're like, eh.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm really buying them.
Well, I think that's and you see this across college football. It's one thing to, as you know, a lot of these places have new head coaches or establishing themselves. Some of them been good for a long time. It's one thing to go from a building point of being just a decent program to a program that can make some noise and, you know, every now and then pull off a 10-win season. It's a whole nether jump, I think, and this has been shown in the Big Ten, to go from that to a team that can actually win conference championships. And Penn State's a really good program. Wisconsin's a good program. You know, Jim Harbaugh, I think some of the criticism is fair. I think some of it is a little overblown. It's hard when you have national title or bust expectations put on your shoulders. Not easy to live up to that. But they're all good programs, but none of them have been able to take that step over an Ohio State and say, we're going to consistently beat you.
Yeah.
And largely it's because of recruiting, and they're just having a difficult time recruiting them. And it's also partly because you look at Ohio State and really, and maybe I'm just blanking on another school in that conference, name another Big Ten team that has had really good, consistent quarterback play. Like, Wisconsin's quarterbacks are usually pretty crappy. Michigan, we just talked about. Penn State had McSorley, who had a good run. He's a good college quarterback.
He was fine.
Sure, he had a couple of good years, but he wasn't to the point of a Justin Fields, right? So
State might be your second best quarterback school in that conference.
They could,
when you kind of think about it. Connor Cook was pretty good.
Sure, Kirk Cousins had a couple of years there.
Yeah.
Brian Lewerke, come on, don't forget that. But no, it just speaks to having all the talent plus a difference maker there. And Justin Fields is as good as it gets in college football.
Yeah. So the slate this week in Michigan, Minnesota is a top 25 ranking on ABC. That's at 4:30. Mm-hmm. And that has Michigan as a 3-point favorite against P.J. Row Your Boat Fleck.
I'm pretty excited for that because I think P.J. Fleck has a big prove it year this year. Of saying, like, last year wasn't a fluke. Can you go follow up what you did last year and say we're clearly in that direction, or was that the outlier year and you're going to go back to winning seven games?
Yeah, can you put Minnesota into that suddenly top of the Big Ten type conference program?
If they have another year where they win 9+ games, they're there.
But I don't think people would have thought that, right?
Like, no.
Some might have thought P.J. Fleck was a good coach when he was at, where is it, Eastern Michigan? Western Michigan?
I think it was Central Michigan.
Central Michigan.
I believe, yeah. He was a Chippewa?
Chippewa. They might have thought he was a good coach, but if you can get Minnesota back into a position you had him last year, despite losing the talent that you did.
No, it was Western Michigan.
Western Michigan, yeah. But if you can elevate and get to that program, I mean, there's a shocker, is having Minnesota in a top 15 to top 20 type conversation.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
Penn State opens against Indiana. They're only a 6-point favorite on the road against an unranked Indiana program.
Yeah, what's going on with that? Because Penn State's ranked in the top 10 right now.
Yeah, I don't get that. Well, the rankings are also largely irrelevant for these schools because they haven't played.
They are. Well, and on your Minnesota note, too, I think for the Big Ten, and this has kind of been true in the SEC with the other division that nobody ever talks about, the Big Ten has one of those divisions. Like, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan State are all in the Big Ten East.
How did they not do that right?
I know.
How did you screw that up?
And there's just been this void. Now, Wisconsin has mainly filled it, and they've been a really consistently good program. There's no doubt about that. But there's that void there. I think that there's a door. And I think that was one of the reasons that some people, when Nebraska hired Scott Frost, he thought maybe Nebraska could fill it. You know, you've had up and down years from Iowa every now and then. And that's where the PJ Fleck factor comes in, is if he can get Minnesota to that point, he's in the Big Ten West. So you're basically competing with Wisconsin, Nebraska, and Iowa for divisional titles and a chance to go play in the Big Ten championship every year. And you'd much rather be in that half of the division than you would having to beat Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State, and Michigan State every single year.
What's more exciting to you, having a conference where 100% of people think it's easily just one team, or having a Pac-12?
I mean, this is going to be a super biased take, but I think it's a lot more enjoyable going into the Pac-12 this year not knowing who the hell's going to win it. You could argue to me 4 or 5 different teams, and I will realistically listen to your argument and say, yeah, I could see it. You can't do that in the SEC because Alabama's going to win it. You can't do it in the ACC because Clemson's going to win it. And you sure as hell can't do it in the Big Ten.
But see, we say that, and then the Big Ten honks and the ACC honks. They all,
oh, sure,
you know,
nationally, what's more important is having a team that can make the playoff.
But it's
and
so
all
boring.
Those conferences have it. We don't have it out here.
It's a boring idea to me to have a conference where it's like, one program is a galaxy away from everybody else. At least that's the thought of it going into the season.
Right. That's the feeling.
Michigan State, for example, is a good idea. This, you're reminded that Mel Tucker is there.
Mel Tucker is the new coach, and he's way overpaid.
He's over. Well, we'll see. He'll have a prove it year, right? He'll be able to show us how good of a coach he's going to be at Michigan State.
Yeah, because that 1 year of Colorado really turned a lot of heads, man. I'm glad he's making $6.5 million a year.
Hey, if you can get the money, you can get the money.
Sure, I don't knock him for taking the paycheck, but
no, I don't either. But Big Ten is coming back this week. Starts on Friday. We got a Friday matchup. Illinois, Lovey Smith and company.
Lovey Smith's still there. Does he still have a beard, or did he shave that thing off?
I think he shaved it.
Oh, that's a bummer.
He looked really good with the beard going.
He had the Santa Claus look going on.
He did.
Man. Lovey Smith needs to bring that back.
So that's going to be the first game in the Big Ten as Illinois goes to Camp Randall Stadium and plays the Wisconsin Badgers, who are in the top 15. And then you get Nebraska at Ohio State. We'll see what Scott Frost and company can do in his third year there. Mel Tucker starts his debut in the Big Ten. Penn State on the road. Michigan, Minnesota is probably your biggest game. And there's kind of just everybody else, like Maryland, Northwestern. Nobody cares.
Yeah, and I'll, you know, this is, again, going to be a biased homer take, but I'll say it anyways. And I would assume that a lot of fans would agree with me. There's a gaping hole out there without the Pac-12, at least just for us, for me, at least on the West Coast as a football fan. Like, I look every weekend, I'll get to the weekend, I'll look at the slate, and I'll say, all right, how many of these games actually intrigue me? Like, Alabama, Georgia was going to be a good game. Good in the first half, got out of hand in the second half. I'm doing the same thing this week. A lot, like, outside of, you know, Michigan, Minnesota, I'm just curious how those two teams look. You got Iowa State and Oklahoma State, which could be a good game. And Oklahoma State's the only remaining undefeated Big 12 team. Outside of that, man, it's like, I would love to watch a Duck game, Husky game, Beaver game, Cougar game, just to follow what the local schools are doing. And thankfully, we get that in 2 weeks because the slate hasn't really been revving my sports pants very much the last few weeks.
All right, let's get to the Daily Ticker. Our two stops. The first is in Baltimore, where they make a trade and they sign a controversial player not named Antonio Brown. And then we'll go to LSU and find out the latest with their self-imposed sanctions and what it could mean if the NCAA decides to hammer them. Those are our two stops on the Daily Ticker. We'll make them next on radio.com and 1080 The Fan.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Jerry Coleman covers the Ravens. For 105.7, our sister station over there in Baltimore does a great job, and he joins us now. The Ravens made a trade here. They went after Minnesota's pass rusher, Yannick Ngakoue, and they traded a 2021 third-round pick and a 2022 conditional fifth-round pick to the Vikings for those rights, and Jerry joins us now. Jerry, thanks for hopping on with us here in Portland, my man. We appreciate it. Was this a surprise to you that they traded for a pass rusher, or is this something that they've long been eyeing?
Well, it's something they've long been eyeing, and thanks for having me on. But we were talking about it on our morning show this morning here in Baltimore, that there was a need in three positional areas, whether it be wide receiver, offensive line, or a pass rusher. Mm-hmm. And Ngakoue, who's a former Maryland star and from Bowie, Maryland, fit right in that category. And he was a guy that apparently the Vikings were willing to give up. The question is, how many more guys are the Vikings willing to give up? Might Eric DaCosta ask for Adam Thielen as well, because there is a need for a wide receiver. And yes, they brought in reportedly Dez Bryant to their practice squad, but I don't know if he's the answer. But this is just another move for Eric DaCosta, another feather in his cap after taking over for Ozzie Newsome at the beginning of last year. He has made a series of trades to try and fortify this defense, from Marcus Peters to Calais Campbell and now Ngakoue.
Yeah, how much of this move in your mind has to do with the Kansas City problem? We've seen that game a couple of times, and felt like they had a difficult time getting getting pressure on Mahomes when they faced earlier this season. How much of this was just, let's get a pass rusher because we know that's the team you got to overcome in the AFC playoffs?
That's definitely a part of it, and beating the Steelers as well. Their top divisional rival is, as you guys know, unbeaten and sitting on top of the division right now, but they have all eyes on Kansas City. That has been what, you know, Lamar Jackson is called their kryptonite. Yeah. That's the one team that has beaten Lamar three times and the four losses he's had as a starting quarterback.
Yeah. Jerry Coleman's our guest here, Ravens insider for 105.7 FM over there, sports radio in Baltimore, our sister station, as the Ravens make a trade. Well, you mentioned the Dez Bryant thing, and I got to ask you, Jerry, you don't sound all that convinced that Dez is going to make his way onto the active roster. He's on the practice squad starting out. Should we read into this as they're kicking around ideas, and if Dez doesn't work, they'll look to somebody else? Do you think Antonio Brown is still potentially in the fold, as the report came out that the Seahawks were interested, and he is the, I believe, the cousin of Hollywood Brown? What do you make of the Dez Bryant signing and what they're trying to do at wideout?
Well, they've already brought Dez in for a workout, and it didn't work out. Mm-hmm. So now it smells of desperation from both sides, frankly. No one wanted Dez, and, you know, the Ravens really haven't been able to get their passing game going. I think they're second to last in the NFL in that category the last time I checked before the bye week, and they didn't do much, frankly, in their last game, you know, at the Eagles, even though they were able to win, and they've won 5 of 6, and a lot of teams would like to be there. But this is a spoiled franchise in terms of what they did offensively a year ago. Right. They haven't matched that, and they probably won't. But the passing game has been lacking, guys, and Lamar is yet to get it going downfield. So they're looking for someone who can be a downfield threat. Antonio Brown, I just don't think, is going to be a fit here. They had issues with Earl Thomas and let him go in the preseason. I just don't think they need that headache. I know he's related to Marquise Brown. I just think he changes the locker room. We've seen it happen in several stops with several formidable franchises out there. Like, you know, I mean, and strong-minded coaches like Mike Tomlin and John Gruden. Now, Bill Belichick, I don't think, had a problem with Antonio Brown. But the Ravens and John Harbaugh, I don't know if that would mesh. Yeah. And they already have a volatile Marcus Peters in the locker room. So I don't see Antonio Brown coming here, frankly.
Yeah, you mentioned the offense and trying to get in that passing game going. It's interesting we have you on today because we were just doing a segment yesterday where we were talking about, you know, the 5-1 record is great and they're averaging like 30 points per game. But some of the analytical nerds are looking into like the advanced stats and saying, hey, yards per play is down. The you know, the EPA per pass play is way down from where it was last year. Where is the concern level in your mind just from, you know, both you and the fan base about the offense? And how do you, you know, kind of spread out the blame pie chart of maybe why they're not clicking on all cylinders from how good they were last season?
Well, I think at times they've gotten a bit pass happy and away from their bread and butter, which is the run. They're a run first team and they work the play action off the run. Now, to match last year, I think is impossible. It was a record setting season. There's a reason it was a record. It hadn't been done ever. So to anticipate and think you're going to get close to that again, I think is wishful thinking. But there are some things they can do to spice up the offense. And I think that's what the coaching staff is working on actually as we speak. The players have off for the bye. They had a couple of practices this week. The coaches are spending more time over at the facility until at least Saturday.
Yeah, there we go. Great stuff from Jerry Coleman of 105.7 Sports Radio over there in Baltimore, our sister station. Jerry, thanks so much for hopping on, man. We always appreciate the time, and we'll have to catch up with you soon as the season continues on.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
All right, there we go. Let's talk some college football now with Billy Embody of Go Tigers, 24-7, 24-7 Sports. This website he works on. LSU self-imposed sanctions for OBJ, and the bigger story that doesn't get talked about as much is the booster story. And Billy joins us now. Billy, thanks for hopping on with us here in Portland, man. We appreciate the time. Can you walk us through the self-imposed sanctions? Does LSU believe these self-imposed sanctions are going to stop the NCAA for maybe hammering them the way they did to USC all those years ago with this booster story?
Yeah, I'm not so sure they think that it's going to stop them from hammering them. I still think they're going to get dealt some penalties in addition to what they've self-imposed. I think, just kind of speculating here, you look at what they've done to Oklahoma State, for example, with the postseason ban, and that kind of seems like the par for the course sanction these days if you're going to, you know, quite frankly, cheat. And while the booster payment was a long time ago, it was under Les Miles, under a totally different athletic director. Obviously, they're not there anymore. The OBJ thing was kind of wild. I think it's more of the footnote in this story. But, yeah, when you see something like that with the pay-for-play, I think they're going to get hammered a little bit more than what they've self-imposed already.
Yeah. Did you see these self-imposed sanctions coming? Because I had kind of forgotten about this story, to be honest. It was just kind of, you know, lingering in the background. And I remember the Odell Beckham stuff from the national championship game. But then it kind of came back out yesterday. It's like, oh, that's right. They were under investigation. Did you see this level of self-imposed sanctions coming from LSU?
Yeah, I think so. I would just say that, you know, whenever the thing happened with OBJ, you knew there'd be a, you know, backlash for it. And so I think they want to get out ahead of it. They knew they were dead to rights, I would say, with the John Paul Funes stuff with the $180,000 to Vidal Alexander's dad, you know, almost a decade ago now. But that just left such a paper trail that they knew they had to do something. And so I think it's, you know, whenever somebody, and they didn't announce this, but whenever the news like this comes out, it's kind of randomly timed. But it's smart of them, I would say, to self-impose. I'm not sure it's going to be enough. The thing that's interesting, too, about this, and, you know, Oregon fans, I'm sure, you know, think about this, too. But with everything with Will Wade, there was no self-imposed sanctions for the basketball team. So it makes you wonder what they know in terms of either some sort of paper trail or what the NCAA knows. Because I know there was a pretty obvious paper trail with the Vidal Alexander stuff, and that all came out with a big statewide investigation. So interesting to note that as well, that no basketball part of the, you know, sanctions were involved either.
Right. Billy Embody is our guest here covering LSU for 24/7 Sports. Go 24/7 is where you can find the website. Now, let me ask you about that. We don't know what sanctions would come down from the NCAA, or if at all, and obviously the self-imposed ones are in place now. How nervous do you think Tiger fans are about being hit pretty hard with something?
I think they're somewhat nervous. I think they're more worried about the football program being hit with like a postseason ban or additional scholarships restrictions and things like that. I think the basketball program, you know, just judging by the lack of self-imposed sanctions and actually just talking with people around the industry, I think a lot of people just kind of think that, you know, while Will Wade got caught on the, you know, wiretap for sure, the lack of a paper trail there is what I keep hearing about. So I'm interested to see how the NCAA will handle that. You know, Arizona just got their notice of allegations today or is about to get that. So that'll be an interesting thing to follow as well, because, you know, they're both Arizona and LSU are all over that, you know, college basketball bribery scandal, at least with the wiretaps. So it's going to be interesting. I think they're more worried about their football program because, you know, football comes first down in Louisiana.
Right. Well, and on that note, I mean, just on a football question, like what the hell's going on this year? Did anybody see them being this bad, especially on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, that's I think the defense, especially with all we heard from Ed Ogeron in fall camp, that's a big surprise. And I think Miles Brennan, you know, he's hurt this weekend and is going to be out in all likelihood and might be out for multiple games. He's been a more of a pleasant surprise. But this team just kind of lacks an identity right now. They lack leadership. They lack that swagger that team had. I mean, don't get me wrong, 15, 16, 17 NFL draft picks is nice, and that's a big part of why they were so good. Mm-hmm. But there were a lot of holes that just kind of going into this year, you felt like, okay, that's a natural fit. That player's been there before. He's played a lot already. He's a veteran. They won't be what they were, obviously, but they'll be competitive. And, you know, this is the easiest part of their schedule, and to go 1-2, and now they've got a bad South Carolina team coming into town. If they go 1-3, I mean, this thing has a chance to end up being like a 2-8 finish for them. And it's going to get real ugly for this team, you know, at least heading into 2021. Ed Ogeron's not going anywhere for a while with that new extension.
Yeah, do you think, right, Billy, we'll get you out on this, do you think it could be the shortest stint in LSU history, a D coordinator with Bo Pelini, if this continues to go into the side of a mountain?
I think a D coordinator, yeah. We already saw Matt Canada get out the door. News broke that he wasn't coming back from his first year before the bowl game even got played. So, you know, I think anytime you pay the amount of money they do for a D coordinator, you got to expect more than this. But I just think they're all over the place. I don't think they're in sync. I think they're just running around almost like they're, you know, chickens with their heads cut off, and that's not how they play defense at LSU.
Yeah, for sure. Good stuff. Billy Mbati for 24/7 Sports, covering LSU for Go 24/7. Go find it. He does great work. Billy, thanks so much for hopping on with us, man. We really appreciate the time, and the next LSU-related story, we have to get you back on.
Anytime, fellas. Thanks for having me.
All right, there we go. Good stuff in the Daily Ticker. Jerry Coleman in Baltimore says he doesn't really buy the Des Bryant thing. It reeks of desperation.
Yeah.
And to your question and credit, Yannick Ngakoue more of a let's get Patrick Mahomes on the ground problem. And Billy Mbati there on LSU says, I think they're getting a little worried. They just don't want any postseason bans from what's gone on with their booster situation.
Hell, for LSU, the perfect example would be for the NCAA to drop the hammer this year, because they might not be going to a bowl game this year anyways. That team is not good.
They're not good.
Whole different conversation about how quickly they fell off. The Baltimore trade, I think there's some meat on that bone, because Minnesota might be waving the white flag after their terrible start of saying, give us draft picks and we're going to start a little bit of a rebuild here. And I love the fit for Baltimore. I was reading up on it today. He's not a great fit when you're trying to stop the run consistently, but he's an excellent pass rusher. He, of course, was a teammate with Calais Campbell in Jacksonville, so they have a relationship there. And they feel like they brought in a guy that they can use on obvious pass situation downs, and especially against teams like Kansas City, who throw the ball a ton, and he can make an impact.
Brady Henderson's going to join us at 1. Little news on the Seahawks game. We'll get to that coming up next on The Fan. We'll talk some Seahawks with Brady Henderson, our good friend for ESPN. Big one for them this weekend, going down to the desert. A note on that one, by the way, just came across the wire from old Tom Timmy. He's coming up soon too. The NFL has moved the Bucks at Raiders game. That was the Sunday night game originally.
Yeah.
That's been moved now to 1:05 our time.
It's been moved to a late afternoon game.
And for you Hawks fans, they'll be driving out Sunday night. You'll be able to turn on 1080 The Fan because the Hawks at Cardinals has been moved to Sunday Night Football.
You're welcome, Swigard, huh? Gonna change up that schedule for Sunday. You thought you had everything figured out. Last second change on
more
a Thursday, baby.
Well, at least it's on a Thursday.
Yeah, it's true. At least you get a couple of days head start. I think the fear here...
The fear is the Raiders can't play it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not good right now with the Raiders.
COVID test, by the way, if you haven't heard. Their offensive line's not even practicing.
No, not practicing. And also, there's an investigation going on right now about them not following the right protocol. So Trent Brown tested positive, and they have found out that he was not wearing the mandatory tracking device that every player is supposed to wear. That basically alerts you to who you were in close contact with. So when something like this happens, they can check your device, who your device was close to. They can figure out, you know, let's test those guys or quarantine them for however many days. So they haven't been able to practice with an offensive line all week. Not good, because we're a couple of days away from game day. And also it was reported, I believe, that they had gathered and they weren't wearing masks. And it was one of those kind of bad situations where you fear for the worst for the Raiders. So I think this is a Sunday Night Football. Let's protect ourselves in case this game doesn't happen. And we'll show Seattle, Arizona, which should be a very good game.
I hope that game can happen between Tampa and the Raiders, though. That
I do, too.
I'm actually pretty excited for that. I think it's another barometer for Gruden and company. Like that Kansas City win. Boy, it was rather impressive. I don't know how legitimate people put the Raiders in to the AFC conversation.
Right.
And if you could beat Tampa, who just came off absolutely kicking Green Bay's ass, you're going to get a few heads turning your way of like, oh, can the Raiders actually do this? Is this the new Raider team with John Gruden and company?
I think they get to 4-2 with the win this weekend.
We could probably ask Brady this, but I'm going to ask you. Seattle at Arizona, I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost, you know, it's almost a vortex for them. They every time they go there, something weird happens.
And something bad happens.
Remember the 6-6 game?
I do remember the 6-6
game. Couldn't make a field goal at the end. It was just absolutely ugly to watch.
You had the Thursday Night Football game where it felt like everybody on their team got hurt in one game. You had the game, was it last year? No, it would have been 2 years ago.
2 years ago with
Earl Thomas. Broke his leg and flipped off the Seahawks sideline. For Seahawk fan and Duck fan alike, they have had bad memories in that stadium. That was also the stadium that hosted the Super Bowl when they threw the interception at the 1 yard line.
So it was in
Arizona. It was in
Glendale.
Dude,
that is like their Bermuda Triangle.
It's the same thing for Oregon. Oregon lost a national championship in that building. They lost a Final Four in that building. Oregon has
Pacific Northwest teams don't like Glendale.
Don't like going to Glendale, man. Don't go down there. Stay away from that stadium.
I never thought about Oregon and the Seahawks having both all those big things go on.
Yeah, isn't it wild?
That's crazy.
It's a weird coincidence. So you just hope at least that everything is okay and that the game lives up to the hype, because that one has a chance. With Seattle's bad defense and their great offense, that has a chance to be a very high-scoring, entertaining, exciting game.
So you say that, and now it's probably going to be 9-3.
Have you seen the story, by the way, out of and I almost wish now that they would have moved this to Sunday night just because it's so aesthetically pleasing. Have you seen the story out of Denver? For the Kansas City-Denver game?
No.
Oh, ho, ho. We might have our first snow game of the year.
Oh, it's supposed to snow in Denver.
High of like 22 on Sunday, and they're thinking maybe there's a chance they just get blanketed in snow all afternoon.
Yeah, Kansas City's a big favorite in that one. I don't know if snow helps or hurts the Chiefs' chances.
I think Patrick Mahomes can throw through anything. I think he'll be all right, but I love the thought of watching some snow football this weekend. I did see that report.
Do you think that Seahawk and Oregon fan alike would both vote that's their least favorite venue?
Yes, I have a buddy who's a diehard Seahawk fan and a diehard Duck fan, and so it's like a double whammy anytime we're ever associated with that building. I was in the national championship walking around that stadium. I was there for the Final Four watching Oregon lose and not box out against North Carolina. Mm. It's a house of horrors, man. And if you were a Seahawk fan, obviously they went to the Super Bowl and watched that thing happen. And in the year that they played on the Thursday night, I remember going into it, Richard Sherman complaining about how unsafe it was for the players. And then all of their defensive players like ensued to get hurt in
the game.
That's
where they lost the Legion of Boom, basically.
And that was it. I mean, that was the end of that run for that team. They just couldn't recover, and they had to kind of change the way they did things. And some people wonder if that team, if they would have been able to stay healthy, could have potentially gone on another run to a Super Bowl.
It's going
to
get rather spooky there, you know what I mean?
Ooh, week before Halloween.
You got to get the ghosts out.
Yeah, you got to exercise some demons. Go sacrifice a chicken or something, Seattle. But I'm excited. I mean, at least that one being on Sunday Night Football, I was very excited for Raiders Bucks. I hope that game can still happen. I thought about gambling on the Raiders this weekend, but the fact that they haven't had an offensive line of practice
all
week.
It'd make you feel a little uneasy, right?
Not going to touch that game. And I think it's trending almost to that game getting rescheduled for Monday. Or, you know, I hope that doesn't have to happen. But at least Seattle, Arizona is a good consolation prize.
So the big news is that Bucks Raiders goes from Sunday night to Sunday afternoon, 1:05 p.m. kick. And then the Seahawks and Cardinals, which you were going to originally catch here on the Fan at 1:05 for the first kick, kickoff.
The first kick.
I'm looking at a baseball thing as I'm saying this. So yeah. I'm like thinking first pitch. That's been moved now to Sunday Night Football. And as we just highlighted there, it's always so weird in Glendale for all the Pacific Northwest teams.
Bad things happen in that stadium.
Does not go well. We'll see what happens on Sunday, though. Hopefully we can get a good game between two what seems to be pretty good teams. All right, we're going to kick off hour number two, talking Seahawks with our guy Brady Henderson of ESPN. What does he think of the report that they're maybe going after Antonio Brown? Is that a smart move? Are we going to see Snacks Harrison sometime soon in the starting lineup? Jamal Adams, when is he returning? And what does he think of them going to Arizona this week? And we'll talk about all of that with our good friend Brady Henderson to kick off hour number two on radio.com and 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.